Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
All right, guys, we are headed to Miami starting Monday. Undisputed and all of our FS1 shows will be live at Loomis Park on South Beach as we get ready for Super Bowl 54. If you're in the area, please come watch us live. How fun would that be? Mm. And in person, audience check-in starts at 8:30 a.m. and we guarantee a good show. Trust us. You don't want to miss it. How about this for some guest guys? Lil Wayne, Offset, Christian McCaffrey, Michael Irvin, Deion Sanders. When I saw that list, I was like, wait a second. Everyone's going to be in Miami. You guys excited?
I just died and went to Super Bowl heaven. Trust me on this. Fox Sports has built a little Super Bowl city on South Beach. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the heartbeat of Super Bowl week. You have to be there because we're going to have virtual rock concerts out there.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this. I've never been to the Super Bowl. I've never been a part of the week.
Me and Weezy be pulling up together. We're going to just be coming in the night before.
Oh, seriously? I mean, you can't, like, tell everyone that that's what you're going to be doing.
That's what I'm going to be doing.
Somebody's going to be borrowing Weezy's car for
I already saw that post. Skip, would you like to share with me? Because nothing looks nice.
Jenny, we don't need no car. Me and Weezy going, we don't need no car.
Is anyone going to invite me to hang out or am I on my
own? You good.
Good to know. After impressing the league during the preseason, Zion Williamson is set to make his NBA debut tonight against the Spurs. Zion has not only been rehabbing from a knee injury, but the Pelicans have also been working with the rookie on his mechanics when he jumps and lands in order to avoid future injury. So, Shannon, what do you expect from Zion tonight?
I expect them to play him around 20 minutes, Skip. There's no need to push him in his first game back. You got, another 40 games to go. So let's try to keep him as healthy as we possibly can. Skip, I believe Zion be good. He'll be good for, some splash plays. That's what he is, Skip.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a highlight reel.
Yep.
Dunks, he's going to probably catch somebody. He's going to probably body bag somebody. He's going to probably throw somebody's shot up in the second row.
Maybe.
Because that's what he is.
Yep.
Skip, I don't see Luka and LeBron, a guy that, assist the basketball, go get his own shot. Can he rebound like those guys? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I don't see him as a guy that's going to get everybody. That's what he got Holiday for. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ingram can handle the ball. They got Lonzo Ball. So they got enough ball handlers. So I don't see that kind of impact. But I do see splash plays. I do see highlight plays. And so you'll see him on a loop making all those plays. Skip, the thing that's concerned me about him, has always concerned me, is his health.
Yep.
And Skip, I got two guys, and no one's probably really thought about this. Two guys that had his athleticism that were 100 to 120 pounds lighter and have knee issues. Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook. Those guys rival his athleticism, but at 120 pounds lighter.
True.
So can you imagine a man that's 300 pounds with that kind of explosive athleticism, up, down, up, down, up, down on a nightly basis, 20 minutes tonight, but you hope eventually you get him to 30, 35 minutes doing that over and over and over again. That's my concern, Skip. Hopefully he can, get with the right training, get a chef. And look, I know it's, Skip, it's not fun eating that bland stuff, And I people like, well, how do you?
Although, if you start, as you well know, you'll retrain your taste buds, and after a while, you'll say, why did I eat that junk, right? You won't like it anymore.
The thing, Skip, is that what I told people when I played and I trained, I said, the difference between you and I eat for survival. You eat for enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that's why you can never beat me.
True.
Yeah.
Zion, that's how you're going to have to be.
But you can eat right for enjoyment, too. There are ways to cook it right.
I'm sure Zion won MVPs, won championships more than he won beignets and etouffee. And, I don't know if he like, but that boudin and all that. I know you don't know about that kind of stuff, but yeah.
Okay.
I mean.
So you've had lots of reservations about his body.
Yes.
Even within the last 6 weeks on the show. You have had reservations. Has he gained too much weight when he couldn't do much, if any, cardio because he had knee surgery?
Right.
The video I saw yesterday, he looked pretty good.
Okay.
Because they say, according to David Griffin, their GM, and I have a lot of respect for him, they have retrained everything about Zion mechanically. They retrained him to walk, to run, to jump off one leg, and to land differently than right. he was landing before. Because the two guys you point out, Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook, much lighter men, extremely athletic, and often put themselves in dangerous, precarious situations mm-hmm. as they landed awkwardly mm-hmm. because they go up so high
right.
and get hit by so many bigger men, right. and then they fall precariously, mm-hmm. dangerously. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen to this guy. It's the pounding of 300 pounds coming down and down on your joints, mm-hmm. especially your knees.
Right.
They could wear out quickly, mm-hmm. okay? Because Kareem lasted a long time because he was lithe.
Yes.
He was, for his size, he was thin. Mm-hmm. Could I dare say skinny?
Yes, he
was. He wasn't a big weight room guy. Mm-mm. And so he was landing softly.
Right.
And he didn't jump.
He wasn't exploding. Kareem was throwing the sky hook.
Throwing the sky hook. And he could rebound pretty much flat-footed because yes. he was
7'1", I think.
7'1", whatever.
7'2", yeah. 7'2".
Okay. 7'2", okay. So here's the point. Are we seeing a new guy? But whatever he did it right. His body looked good to me.
Right.
So now I'm going to quote my friend Brian Windhorst on ESPN. I saw him talking about how, remember, Brian covered LeBron from day one, like yeah. middle school on up. Mm-hmm. And Brian made the point that LeBron's first preseason ahead of that opening game at Sacramento,
right.
I'm going to use Brian's word, it was crap. That LeBron was terrible and their team was terrible
right.
in the preseason.
Right.
So you couldn't see him coming.
Right.
But on opening night at Sacramento, LeBron played 43 minutes. I just checked this. 43 yeah. minutes. He was still, was he 18 or 19?
18.
Was he still 18?
I think he was 18. Yeah.
Maybe.
Because he was going to be 19 in
okay.
December.
All right, that's true. Okay, so on opening night, he's still 18. 43 minutes, 25 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. 4 steals. That'll work. Mm-hmm. And he shot 12 of 20 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, no surprise, 1 of 3 from the free throw line, so that wasn't a big... They lost 106-92, but they weren't very good.
Right.
But I thought that was a sensational
right.
debut for
right.
LeBron James at that age.
Oh, Zion got way more okay. help around him than okay. what LeBron okay. had.
Way more. So here was Brian's point, again, back to Brian Windhorst. He said that Zion's 4 preseason games before he hurt his knee were, to use his word, awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He played 27 minutes a night, not high minutes.
Right.
Averaged 23, 7 rebounds, and 2 steals. Well, and splash, lots of splash plays, right?
Everybody remembers when he took the ball from Kevin Knox.
Oh, that was that in the summer league?
Yeah, it was summer league.
Yeah.
And boom.
Boom. Just hammered it right.
Hey, I think he called, he dunked on somebody from Atlanta. He yep. hammer-cocked that. Skip, he's a highlight. He and Lonzo can be Gary Payton and Sean Kemp.
Yeah.
He nicknamed Sean Kemp the Rain Man because it looked like he was just falling out of the sky.
Yep.
He was up so high. And this kid has that kind of athleticism.
Yep.
And remember, Sean Kemp started having problems, Skip, when what? He couldn't control his weight. Mm. You know, getting up there that high when you're a small man is one thing in landing. You get up there and you start getting 280, 290, 300 pounds mm. with that kind of explosion, that's asking an awful lot on, right. on those joints.
Yeah. In the 4 preseason games, Zion shot 71% from the field. Why? Because he can really finish.
Yes.
Either hand.
Yeah.
Kind of like LeBron.
Right.
I'm not saying he's going to be LeBron because he's not. It's just, it's right. hard for anybody to ever
right.
be what LeBron is.
And you see, Skip, like you said, the athleticism of a man that size, the way he can shift his body, contort yep. his body like a much smaller man, like you see D. Rose, mm-hmm. like you see Russ gets up in the air and doing all this and laying it up. That's how D. Rose was mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook before Russell. He had that kind of explosion, but the injuries and that torn.
Okay. So he is joining a wildly exciting basketball team.
They are.
Because they are young and they are hungry mm-hmm. and they are talented.
Yep.
And Lonzo is the perfect fit for Zion, to your point. And B.I. is playing at an all-star level, right?
He is.
And Josh Hart is there, and Drew Holiday just came back, and those two kids they drafted are
Jackson
really
Hayes,
talented.
Jackson Hayes, the challenge at the rim. Yeah, he's a leaper also.
Ooh. And they got Favors as,
yeah.
as kind of a tough,
he's
older,
solid.
Veteran presence
yep.
in the paint. It's a pretty good basketball team that is just about to become must-see TV.
I believe, and Alvin Gentry, the head coach, Skip, I believe he's saying, guys, we can make the playoffs.
Mm. 3.5 games out of
We can make the playoffs. We're good enough to make the playoffs. they'd be short-lived, because you know who they're going to get first round.
The Clippers?
Don't do that, Skip. Don't do that.
Can you imagine, though, a matchup between LeBron and Zion? I mean...
You know what? It would be pretty good to start off with.
It'd be pretty good. It'd be 4-0.
That would be huge.
4-0.
Hey, Lonzo returns, B.I. returns, Josh Hart returns to L.A. That would work.
Yeah, a couple of yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully they still got their place. They can sleep in it.
Yeah.
God, we gonna put,
put them right to sleep? Okay.
Oh, you know what, Skip?
Well, you're going way out on a limb.
Now, you, saw what they, now you know what AD do. What does AD do against his former team? Now, you know what he do, Skip. Because you've been getting him hard time with AD in the playoffs. He couldn't get a team. He's like, I'm going to show you.
Yeah, I do like that.
Oh, we're going to dump it down to him.
I do love this.
Yeah.
50.
I want to see that. I want to see 1-8 in that first round.
It'll be 4.
It's about as good as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Well, you can just keep going that way.
Huh. I kind of love that, actually.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
Yeah.
I mean, I love NBA doing CC.
I'll tell you what. I don't love my Spurs chances tonight at New Orleans because I think
they're
a beating.
Whoa, with the Spurs. I mean, you know, they Coach Pop got them playing, too. Remember they beat the Celtics and they went on the road and beat somebody else?
Yeah, somebody
oh,
else.
Oh, the Bucks.
Somebody
the Bucks.
Else.
They beat the Bucks. And you talk about, oh, they beat the Bucks. They beat Giannis. Now, all of a sudden, you worried about the Pelicans.
Are you more Clippers or Spurs, or is it even fair to say? Just different.
He Kawhi. He a Kawhi fan.
I've always been a Kawhi fan. And
true.
I'm back.
Oh, you back?
Yep, I'm back.
Mm. Glad
I thought love was like an eclair. Once it goes cold, it can't be reheated. But clearly, really? That's not the case anymore.
You can win people
Mine
back.
Mine got reheated.
Things happen.
I see.
Yep.
You should take note, Shannon.
You're
maybe
right.
You should
right.
learn something there.
It is. This is it. No mercy.
The last time 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan was in a Super Bowl, he was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, who famously blew a 28-3 lead against the Patriots. The Falcons failed to drain enough time off the clock, and it allowed Tom Brady and company to come back and win in overtime. Shanahan said he's learned from that experience that this time things will be different if he has a fourth quarter lead in the big game. Former All-Pro cornerback Antonio Cromartie joining us again this morning.
How you doing? You know I try.
Yeah. I do like this.
Try.
Yeah, this is nice.
I try. I'm trying to dress better than Shannon.
How you going to try to dress me on my
try?
Show?
Try?
Huh? You try to dress me on my show.
Whew. I got to do it.
Ties all next week. Yeah. It's
gonna be not wearing ties?
Is that right?
No ties all week. It's Miami. Who wears ties in Miami?
Trying to compete with somebody, huh?
Oh. No, I wear ties. I'm just kidding.
Now I can't wait to
Straight
see.
Straight linen.
Okay.
Straight
back linen. To this discussion, although everyone looks great today, if I do say so. Antonio, I want to ask you, how much was Shanahan to blame for that 28-3 collapse?
I'll say 60-40. And the only reason I say that is because when you look at the whole picture, yeah, he kept passing the ball. He could have ran the ball more. I think it was averaging 4.6 yards a carry during the game. But at the end of the day, the defense still didn't get off the field when they had an opportunity. So why won't sit here and just blame one man on what he could have done differently? Then you look at the defense side of the ball, they didn't stop anybody during that whole entire thing. They just kept giving up points. They got penalties. They had dumb plays and stupid plays on the defense side of the ball and on the offense side of the ball. So I can't sit here and put all the blame on him because at the end of the day, it's a team sport. And this is something that you got to depend on other people in this sport. And if the defense is not holding up and then the offense is going down and not controlling the clock and not doing the thing they're supposed to do, it makes things harder for you.
But you're still going 60% of the blame.
I'm still going 60-40, yes.
Okay. Yeah, he has to take the lion's share of the blame. I don't know where he's going to get percentage, but I would give him more than that. I'd say 85%. Mm-hmm. I would give the defense only 5% because when you start getting that 90 plays, defense can't hold up for that many plays because that tells me the offense is going at tempo. A couple of D linemen had gotten hurt, Skip. So the rotation that they had in the first half, they no longer had. And, Skip, there's some bad execution. Matt Ryan is an MVP. You can't take a sack in that situation. No. So not only did he take a sack, they got a holding call that pushed him even further back. But see where I fought Kyle, Skip, if you just run the ball three times, time's going to bleed off the clock. The guy kicks a field goal, you're up 11, ball game. See, in the fourth quarter, you cannot run the ball up by 25 the same amount of time as the team that's down by 25. Mm-hmm. What sense does that make? Skip, there's an old saying that says a wise man learns from others' mistakes. A fool learns from his own. You would have thought after you saw what happened with Buffalo and the Bills and Houston, because what couldn't they do, Skip? They didn't run the football. They just run and shoot, throw, and Buffalo had the greatest postseason comeback in history. Well, I guarantee you. Because guess what happened, Skip? Let me tell you how good Kyle Shanahan learned his lesson. Jimmy Drew threw an interception against Minnesota. Since then, the 49ers have called 72 runs, 14 passes. He caught two passes the second half.
That's just because he doesn't trust his quarterback.
So, that, hey, he got a lead. Make him stop it. Skip, if the Falcons run the ball three times and punt it, there's not enough time for the Patriots to come back. So Kyle learned a valuable lesson. I understand your offense, Skip, is to throw the ball because they've had great success. But also your job is to understand the situation and where you are. Mm. Boom. So he learned a very – boy, that's a terrible lesson to learn, Skip. You don't want to learn a lesson like that right there. Mm. But he learned. No. He, like you said, he get in that situation again. Now, I don't know if he'll get up 28-3. But I can assure you, if he gets a sizable lead, he will run time off the clock as he should.
Mm. I cannot tell you how I disagree, especially with you and somewhat with you. I disagree 60% with you and about 95%.
You know what he want to do? He want to get a credit to somebody else, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
I admired the way Kyle Shanahan called this game because there's another old expression, and it's from the state of Texas, and it's you dance with who brung you. And I think it was a Wade Phillips expression.
Yeah. Mm.
Meaning if you got there doing something, you do it all the way home.
Yeah.
Whoever took you to the dance, you dance with her all the way home.
Yes.
You don't go start dancing with the other partners.
No, but Skip, here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to dance with who got me there, but the song's going to dictate what type of dance we do. You know what I'm saying? If the bus got come on, if the butterfly, the electric slide, well, I'm going to do that.
What had happened the night before at the NFL Honors? What had happened? Help me. You were there?
Yeah, man, got the MVP.
Getting your cameo shot in the third row or whatever.
Me and Dak were hanging out.
See, I'm Shannon Sharp. I'm here. Look at me.
Dak and I were hanging out.
Trying to upstage the whole ceremony. Who won the MVP? Who got the MVP award that night? Oh,
yes.
It was Matt Ryan,
right?
He was the MVP of the league. He's on fire. Their offense was on fire.
Right.
So what happened the last full time that they had the ball at the end of regulation? They start at their 10-yard line, first and 10 at their 10. And he throws 39. It was a screen pass to Devontae Freeman. He goes for 39 yards. And then a couple plays later, he hits Julio, unstoppable Julio.
Unbelievable catch.
27 yards. Boom. And all of a sudden, they're set up shop here. And they're first and 10 all the way down at the New England 22-yard line with 4:41 left in the game. And they are up 8 points, right? What do they do? Kyle said, I'm going to run some clock, and I'm going to run it to little Devontae.
Okay.
He had Tevin Coleman, Devontae, so he didn't exactly.
But Tevin Coleman had gotten hurt.
He had gotten hurt. But what I'm saying, he didn't have, you know, big Derek, big number 22. He didn't have one of those, Derek Henry, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but he ran him, and he went left side minus one. So what are you going to do on second down? I'm probably going to throw it because I'm going to dance with who brung me. Mm-mm. I'm going to go for the throat.
Did you see it?
I'm going to play to win instead of playing not to lose because I'm looking over on the other sideline at a number 12 who is on fire.
Right.
I'm going to beat him at his own game. I'm going to throw it right down his throat because if I do, it's going to be game over right here, right now. And Matt Ryan, to your point, the MVP drops back, if we could see this, and he takes a sack you cannot take at this point in the game. You got a sure field goal already set up, and Trey Flowers throws him down, and now you're in some trouble. But you're looking at now a 53-yard field goal, and he comes right back, and he hits Sanu, but they hold. Jake Matthews held, and he hits Sanu for 9 yards, and then he has to throw it to Taylor Gabriel, and that goes incomplete. But the point is, the pass to Sanu, and I got no use for Sanu of what he did in New England this year, but he hits Sanu for 9 yards to make it a 44-yard field goal, but they held. So is that Kyle's fault? Because you still got to get back to a 44-yard field goal, and if you make that, what's going to happen? That's game over.
But that's our point. If you run the ball, even after you lost on second and 11, you run the ball again, time runs off. If you don't get a yard, so be it. Run the ball again. Now you kick it. Skip, the objective, I understand that.
The whole objective is to get points.
Yes.
That's the whole objective. Okay. So if I kick this field goal from the 30, that's what, a 47-yard field goal?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now you're looking at a 47-yard field goal, you go up by 11 with probably 2 minutes left in the game.
Okay. So he goes for the throat. It takes a sack and a hold for him to be thrown. That's not Kyle's fault.
But Skip, you got to factor. Skip, those are things that you factor in as a head coach is that not only do you get the call, Skip, you stop the clock. The holding stop the clock.
Okay. Yet and still, you punt the ball successfully. You punt it all the way back to the Patriots' 9-yard line. They're first and 10 at the 9 with 3:38 left
in
the game.
Yes, that's an eternity.
Guess who? Guess what? Whose fault was that, that they went 91 yards, the Patriots did, for a touchdown?
Defense.
Whose fault was that?
Yes, defense.
Okay, it's Dan Quinn. I think he's the quasi-coordinator, right? So I blame him. I blame that whole unit because you should be able to, if you got an 8-point lead and 91 yards of field to hold somebody, Crow's defense, they're going to say no.
Crow, but you know, you can be playing all, you can play good the first half. But if that team put together a couple of drives and they get touchdowns, if something happens in their mind and something happens in the defense mind. Because all of a sudden, we can't get off the field and the offense says, we know y'all can't get us off the
field.
And that's what happened. That's how they got those 19 points. Skip, you just run the football in that situation. I understand. You run the football. See, and you look at his offense now. They don't have a Derrick Henry. Mostert is 180. Breida is 175, 180. Tevin Coleman, maybe 200. Okay. So they don't have a bruising, a run game. But Kyle understands. He should have known from his dad because we made that mistake against Jacksonville. Mm. We come out there. Now, we've been running TD all year long. Now we're going to get out there. Now we're going to throw the ball all over the yard.
Huh. I don't blame Kyle as much as I credit Tom Brady because you won't give him any credit.
Yeah,
all he did was throw for 246 yards in the fourth quarter overtime.
Come on, Skip.
See, you won't even let it go in your brain.
He had the luckiest catch of all time.
The luckiest catch.
With Julian Edelman. Yeah. Come on now.
So, 246?
Come on. So, there are a bunch of not lucky
catches. Let me ask you a question. We don't get Coach Belichick any credit because his defense pitched a shutout.
Wait, who threw for the 2-point conversion to Amendola to tie the game and send it overtime? Was that not clutch?
Hold on. Who threw that pick six to Alfred?
Mm. Well, that was way early.
But you know who.
246 in the fourth quarter in overtime, and you guys are shrugging like, no big deal. Skip. Stop it.
You have to be in that situation. Give him credit. But you got a lot of factors. The other team got to help you out, Skip. You know that.
They helped them out a lot, Skip, on that last drive.
Kyle Shanahan is saying, we have to out Brady.
No, you don't.
His MVP took a sack.
What did Vrabel say? Vrabel say they pride themselves on beating you because you make dumb plays and dumb mistakes. Don't do that. It's tough enough to beat them, but don't you help beat them.
Vrabel was trying to win in spite of Ryan Tannehill.
He did it. He did it. Your guy. That's the same guy that threw for 246 in fourth quarter overtime, right?
Yep.
And what did he throw for the end?
Well, unfortunately, he couldn't throw it to himself this year. He would have been okay.
Oh, he did that without Gronk.
Come on.
How you going to win a Super Bowl without Gronk?
No Gronk. How about Sanu this year? Did you like him? Yeah, you told me he was a bust, right?
Skip, I told you from day one, I thought they should have traded for Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
And so he was a Rutgers guy. What do they got to do with it? Where he from?
Emmanuel
Sanu can't run anymore.
Emmanuel's in the Super Bowl. Yes. I don't know how he did that, but he is. Way to go.
No mercy. Going to be a clash of two different styles in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs led the league this season in yardage on passes down the field of 20-plus yards, thanks to speedy receivers and Patrick Mahomes' strong arm. On the other side of the ball, the 49ers' defense allowed the fewest yards this year on deep passing plays and have been the best at containing big plays down the field. So, Antonio, when you consider the two, who has the edge in that aspect?
Well, I'm giving the edge to Kansas City. I think when you look at it overall, they had 72 passes over 20 yards this year. They had 92 in 2018, so they toned it down. But you got to think, Patrick Mahomes didn't play a couple games.
Right.
So that number went down.
The yards went up.
Definitely. And the yards went up. But, I mean, you look at it, they completed, 53% of the passes going downfield? Mm-hmm. That was 20-plus yards. So, to me, when you got the speed on the outside and you can go out and do the things you want to do, you give Patrick Mahomes enough time, he's going to find an open man. Because somebody's going to be open because nobody can run with those guys.
Yep.
So I'm giving the edge to those guys just for the simple fact that's what they've done. That's what they've done in the last 2 years, and that's what they're capable of because of the speed they have on the outside. Mm. And they can put people in different places to create the mismatch. And that's what football is all about, creating mismatches. And if you can't cover Tyreek Hill when he's in the slot, when he can go from one hash to the other side of the numbers, it's over. Mm. Big time.
How would you like to wind up with Tyreek in the slot?
Like I told Shannon during the break, I'm glad I'm not playing right now.
I like the honesty.
Yeah, we haven't seen a guy that can accelerate like this. He's a football player that has track speed. Normally, track guys get their Finn, their rail, John Ross type, Ronaldo, Nehemiah, and they're not football players. This guy's a football player with track speed. Mm-hmm. Skip, I'm going to give the edge to Kansas City for the simple fact is that Mahomes and his arm, and as Crow said, those receivers, we've never seen speed like this. Maybe you got to go back to the old Raiders when they had Sam Grady and they had Mervin Fernandez, Willie Gault. Guys that were Olympians, yeah. Skip, on the track.
I agree.
That had speed like this here. But they didn't have a quarterback like this. If you look at two of the three losses that the 49ers suffered, Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson, what can those two guys do? Extend plays. That's the last thing you want to do with a guy like this is let him extend plays. Now, they got a four-man front. They don't really Robert Saleh, the D coordinator for the 49ers, mm-hmm. they don't have to blitz much. Mm-hmm. They can normally generate pressure with four, drop those seven back in coverage, mm-hmm. and when they play that coverage, they don't let anything over the head.
Okay.
But if you let this kid buy time, like Russell Wilson did, because the 49ers like to beat them twice. I'm not 49ers. Seahawks like to beat them twice. Lamar Jackson can extend plays. This guy can extend plays and can throw the ball over your head. So I'm going to give a slight nod to the Chiefs, but it's all going to be predicated on how successful can that offensive line be? Kansas City don't get the credit that some of these offense, they don't get the credit of the Cowboys. They don't get the credit of the Colts. Mm-hmm. This is a damn good offensive line, especially at pass protecting. They do a great job of keeping him upright. And when they don't, they let he can find a lane. And now what he's shown, guess what he's put on tape the last 2 weeks? If I run.
I'm going to put quotes on that. But.
Okay, you put on tape. I'll walk really fast.
Really fast.
Hey, that's so 7 yard touchdown.
That's on tape.
Really
the last two games, when you take off these games, when you look at the body of work, they're like, hold on, we got to be careful. Because remember, Skip, he had another one, I think, against Titans there where he ran for a touchdown.
Yep.
So now that's on tape. We got to be cautious of his ability to run the football, not just throw the ball over our head down the field.
So, to your point about Tyreek, I once had to sit and watch a game called Bedlam between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State at Oklahoma. And Bob Stoops, my former head coach, had the audacity to punt the ball at the end of the game to Tyreek Hill, who was back for a punt. It's like the only way they're going to win the game is you're going to punt it to him and let him catch it. Uh-oh. And he caught it, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran, and he went, track speed all the way home, and they lost. Ball game, bedlam.
Yep.
That one hurt.
It hurt, and that's the first time I said, that guy is something. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that. On TV, you can it's like a blur. It flies off your TV in your living room where you say, that's fast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, to your point, Mr. Cromartie, you said, if you give Patrick Mahomes enough time, that's what you prefaced your answer with that. It boils down to this. This, to me, is going to be the 07 season Super Bowl all over again, the first Eli-Tom Brady Super Bowl in which Eli and company pulled off the huge upset at the time and stopped 19-0.
Right.
And why did the Giants pull that off? Because they had a front four, but they actually had three pass rushers who allowed same coordinator, right?
Mm-hmm. Spagnuolo.
Spagnuolo allowed him not to blitz. I don't know how they might not have blitzed at all the whole game.
Right.
They just rushed three and four. The fourth guy didn't matter, but it's obviously Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, O.C. Umanura. Right. You remember him?
Right.
Yes.
And they were getting home consistently. They were bothering Tom Brady on nearly every throw. Mm-hmm. And Justin Tuck got him twice, and Michael Strahan hit him twice, and O.C. hit him once, and they all had pretty high tackles.
Right.
So they were disrupting the whole day. That's how they held Tom Brady to 14 points.
But what couldn't Tom do that Mahomes can do? Mahomes can move.
Okay.
They knew Tom Brady was going to be a statue. We don't have to worry about anything. We coming. So even if we run past him, we're fast enough to track him, to turn around and chase him down.
But not only that, when you look at it, Tom Brady don't have the receivers that Patrick Mahomes does too.
Well, he had Randy Moss.
Right.
He had one weapon.
He had one.
Yeah. One.
And he had Wes Welker for what it was worth.
But he ain't got every single guy on that squad that runs 4-3 or better.
Right. And then he definitely didn't have a tight end like Kelce.
No.
No. I give you that. But what did he do? What does he do that Patrick doesn't do? He gets rid of it quicker than anybody when he has people who can separate just a little bit.
Because the thing is that Wes Welker was the guy that we can get the ball to him right now. Kansas City's looking to push the ball. They ain't throwing nothing short, Skip. They trying to get everything is 10 yards and more. They trying to get the home run. They trying to gut you. Okay. They're not trying to nickel and dime you.
Okay, so why did, and we're boiling this whole game down to this, one team led the league in big plays, the other team led the league in stopping big plays, yeah, not allowing.
San Fran gave up, 10 completions on 51 attempts? That's the only thing. And
you're talking about
20 plus yards. Then you look at Sherm. Sherm didn't had 9 tries on 20 plus yards.
Okay.
Didn't give up any.
Right.
They gave him two completions because of penalties.
Which is why Richard Sherman was rated by Pro Football Focus the number one corner in football.
Yes. Right.
So you got that. It looks like they kind of shored up the opside corner. That kid's playing pretty well. They're sound. They're solid. But if they can get home, if they can bother and hem in, Patrick,
right.
Because what I tell you about Tennessee, they went in there and said, let's rush 3 mm-hmm. and let's get them all trapped in the middle
right.
where he's got wide open lanes. He can choose either way.
And if you rush 3, you definitely can't run up the field. You got to stay even with the guy. You got to stay level.
Okay.
And if you get level with him and you see him step up, now you got to come flat. They were running, Skip, on the touchdown run, the dude run slam up the field. He takes himself out. What do you think Mahomes is like? There's nothing over there.
There's Harold Landry. He runs 10 yards past him. Where are you going? You going to run to the locker room?
But this is what I want y'all to think about, too. With Kansas City, their defense. Yeah, I think. Since Terrell Suggs has joined their defense, they allow only 17 points a game.
They're better.
They played better.
I agree.
But now you add what's his name, Chris Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You add him to the mix. That he came back. You saw what he brought to the game.
Yes.
So now you're talking about Terrell Suggs, Chris Jones, and those guys up
front.
Frank Clark.
You trade for Frank Clark.
Honey
Badger's been unbelievable. Yeah. He led him in tackles.
Listen.
He's a smart player.
They letting Honey Badger do what he do.
Yeah.
He let him roam the field. And let him be the playmaker.
You were talking about instincts, nose for the football. I've not seen a better nose.
One of the best plays I saw, Skip, is that last one against the Texans.
Yep.
He carries one. And he knows they're trying to run him off with the clear route.
And he
peels back and takes the dagger.
Yes.
I'm like, dude.
Hey, that's film study.
Yes.
Hey, it's special. But so is this front five.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just to remind everybody, Nick Bosa was the second overall pick. We know that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But Eric Armstead was the 17th pick in the first round.
Yes.
DeForest Buckner was the 7th overall pick. D. Ford out of Auburn was the 23rd pick. And Solomon Thomas was the third overall pick.
And Solomon Thomas can't get on the field.
That's what I'm saying. But he's the fifth. he's the fifth wheel.
Yes.
And he was the third overall pick.
Yes.
You're
crazy.
Kidding.
That's
okay.
Crazy.
Well, you don't think you can get home some with those guys?
And you see how they built their team, Skip? Front to back. Offensive line, solid. Defensive line, solid. That's the way we're going
to
play. We're going
to
build it out. Offensive line, defensive line, let's go play football. Because if you're going to run the football in this league, you better have an offensive line.
Yep.
When you think of West Coast, everybody always think of West Coast as finesse.
Mm-hmm.
They're a physical team.
Yeah, they're very physical.
When you run the football like they run it, you don't run the football for 280.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. I think they were second in the league in rushing, Skip.
Yeah.
Without being physical up front.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can rush 4 guys, you whip people.
Mm.
Definitely.
And that's what they do.
And they have a Richard Sherman who's way better than Darrell Revis ever thought about being. Am I right?
There you go.
Stir the pot.
Wow, Skip.
I
thought we left that from yesterday.
You educated me that.
No.
I got to ask, did you hear any more yesterday? Yeah.
No, I ain't hear any more.
Okay. So we did leave it. We left it.
Yeah.
I won't hear any more, trust me.
Unless Skip brings
that
it up.
Fence.
All right, Antonio, it's such a pleasure to have you. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
No mercy.
Well, a bench-clearing brawl broke out last night in the Kansas versus Kansas State game after a K-State player stole the ball with under 10 seconds left and then got his layup blocked on the other end. Silvio De Sousa got a technical for standing over and staring down the K-State player. And from there, the benches cleared. At one point, De Sousa held a stool over his head before it was taken from him by an assistant coach. And Kansas coach Bill Self called the incident an embarrassment and said that there would be consequences. So, Shannon, who was most at fault for this?
K-State. Skip, the clock's running down. You're down by 22.
Mm.
And the Kansas player is trying in good faith, not running an offense, not trying to get any more points, Skip. He's going in the corner. He's going to let the time run out. And this sneaky rascal right here, all of a sudden he want to be hero. Somehow he think there's a chance for him to get a 23-point play.
DeJuan Gordon.
Yes.
Yep.
So he deserved it. He spiked it. like Phil Dahlhauser did on beach volleyball, Jenny, back in the Olympics. Anyway, he spiked it on top of his head and then stepped over him like Iverson did Ty Lue in the NBA Finals game once, Skip, you remember that. And stood over him, yes! You supposed to get that done, bro. You know you don't do that. Skip, there's a very similar play. I don't know what it is with Kansas. They're playing Monmouth. They're up 110 to 55.
Which, when are you talking
this
about?
Year, okay. In November. In November.
Yep.
Skip, the guy, they're up, Kansas is up 110 to 55 on Monmouth. Look at this play, Skip. And he's just dribbling like, okay, I'm going to dribble out the clock.
Yep.
Why is this ref here? He dunks it, runs up the court and says, I don't give a bleep. I don't give a... Really, Skip?
Well, that's just unnecessary.
Now, see, somebody swung and said they should have called it right up out the air, running right up, running up out the air. That's Bush League, Skip. And you know that. And the K-State... the guy from K-State that came off the bench, he's in street clothes. It's swinging. K-State player was wrong for this. You don't do that. Because now, you know, Bill Self is like, okay, hey, guys, hey, probably put his thumb down. Hey, we just going to let the time run off, Skip. We're going to get up, you know, go home. We got a nice little win over our, you know, in-state rival. And this guy going to sneak around and get the ball and try to get a cheap point. Come on, man. You don't do that. So it was his fault. Now, all the chairs, you know, I thought it was WWE, Anything Goes match. I remember those matches, Anything Goes chairs. You know, you bring a rope in there. All I love them kind of matches. But you can't have this. You can't have this in sport, and you definitely can't have it in collegiate athletics. Yeah. So it's a bad look. It's a horrible look. Some guys gonna have to sit down, Skip, for a little while, and so they'll think about this. But K-State, they're wrong in this situation.
I will give you. He broke the unwritten rule. Just let the clock run out.
Right.
I'm gonna give you that. But this is Kansas, in Fog Allen Fieldhouse. This is deep tradition. This is Bill Self's program, and I know Bill pretty well. And I have a lot of respect for him. And I think he was ashamed of what ensued after that.
Absolutely.
Because breaking the code, breaking the unwritten rule, still does not necessitate what was about to happen. Because Silvio De Sousa, for those who have forgotten, was a central figure in the most recent big college recruiting scandal. Mm-hmm. And it was alleged that he took money to go to Maryland, and then it was alleged that he took
More money to go to Kansas.
To undo the Maryland deal to go to Kansas, although his guardian went on and on about Bill Self does not pay anybody and Bill's defended himself, and they're probably still in some hot water.
But, no, the coaches don't come out of their back pocket, but the moves to do.
Okay. So the point is, that's the young man
who
then lost his cool and went down and spiked it to your point. Okay. He spiked it, and then he stepped over him, and he stood over him, and he taunted him. And the problem I have with that is it's not KU. That's not what KU does. They're better than that. They were winning by what felt like a million. That's their in-state rival.
Yes.
Kansas State Purple. So you did what you needed to do, and it's over. And he winds up, De Sousa, with a stool down in the end of in that section for disabled people, and he's got a stool up over his head, and one of the assistants grabs his arm so that he's about to use it on somebody.
Because it happened right there in K-State's bench. So that's why the guy was able to get there so quickly, Skip, because it happened right there in front of K-State's bench. So that's why you see the K-State players immediately, they bolt. And the guy that's in the street clothes, I don't know what his name was, and he came in, everybody looking like, okay, well, it's on for sure now.
And if De Sousa's arms hadn't been grabbed, we could have had worse than a Miles Garrett on Mason Rudolph situation with the helmet, remember? Because if he uses the stool on somebody's head, we're going to have problems, right? Somebody's going to really get hurt.
Right.
And it was such an ugly incident. Have I seen worse? Yes, I've seen worse. A few punches were thrown. I couldn't see if any really landed flush.
For the K-State player, what did he hope to accomplish by doing this?
It's just a rivalry. It's just trying to get even. You've been embarrassed.
Yeah, okay.
You were embarrassed, right.
Yeah, okay, you called the L.
Yeah.
Wait till your guys come to our place. Come to Manhattan, and we got something for you in store. You don't do no bull jive like this.
But if you play for KU, you just let it go. You just shrug it off and let the clock run out.
I'm tired of being
the
bigger man.
Go to the next one.
I'm tired of being the bigger man.
Okay, but who cares what Monmouth does, or seriously, what K-State does. You don't care.
You're not in the same league.
You're in the same league, but you're really not in the same league.
You're in a different level.
Skip, it's like, look, when we get in the victory formation, don't come trying
to... Oh, that's low blow.
Don't become trying to tee off on the ball. You know we do it.
But now you can hurt somebody.
Right. Yeah. So... Because Skip, remember when Patrick Beverly, he got Russ.
Okay,
Russell got about to call a timeout.
It was similar to this.
And he snuck it, you know, tried to, and he clipped Russell's knee.
Okay, but the game wasn't over.
No, it was still hot and heavy. Right.
You know, it's still a competitive
game. It was just
game.
Like Russ was going to call a 20-second timeout.
Yes. And he tried to put the ball under his arm.
Right. You know, and Pat Bev came in, and he clipped him on his knee.
He did.
And that was started Pat Bev and Russ.
Oh, did it?
That started it. But Skip, that was a Bush League move. That was a Bush League.
Okay. But I think also Bush League was what DeSosa did. By KU standards, that was Bush League.
Now, sometimes...
Beneath their dignity.
Sometimes you got to put that act right on them. Sometimes, Skip, you got to put that straightening on them, Jenny.
May get suspended for...
Hey, there's some speculation that he might be gone for the rest of the year.
What?
I mean, there were.
Yep.
For that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm... It was.
Well, he should have went ahead and hit him with the chair. But he hit him, Jenny.
He has to also be able to... Hold back from that, though.
I understand
the frustration.
He was like, I'm protecting myself because I didn't know what was going to happen. Jenny, you know you're in a fight, right? So in a fight, in that situation, I understand we're in Fall Gallon. But it is a fight. And in a fight situation, anything can pop off. So what if he'd had it? I don't know. He might have been going to get a chair.
I don't know.
I hope he ain't taking it from someone that was sitting in that chair. You said that was a disabled section.
Yeah.
But they probably got out of the way.
A lot of Kansas boosters are glad you don't coach their basketball team.
No. Hey, no. See, that's why... I ran the score up on him. Mm. See, I ain't calling the dogs off. I'm trying to beat you 255.
Well, it felt about that bad.
I mean, come on, man. You don't do. And the Monmouth guy, he steal it and dunks it. I don't give a bleep. I don't give a bleep.
What are you trying to prove here?
See, something was going on there. They had some. There was some incident in the game that provoked that.
Let me tell you what was going on. They were down 55. Okay. That's what was going on. All right.
It's not a good look for college athletics, though, and for the kids watching. I mean, that's.
Ooh.
Maybe I'm like a mom here, watching up for the little kids. But
Skip, what KU was doing, Skip, that was victory formation. We just gonna dribble out the clock, and the guy come gonna try to tee off.
Yeah, again, I've seen worse and damage done, but on just the overall look of it, it was ugly.
What happened? It was on TV, national televised game. So that didn't help help the cause.
And I've only seen it about 47 times now.
These two teams will play again in just a little over a month. So
can you imagine
in Manhattan
if the Malice of the Palace had happened on TNT or a national televised game, Skip? Can you imagine?
Felt like it was on national TV. No,
I don't
know.
Whatever.
It did feel like we all saw it, regardless. No mercy. Here is the thing. We're going to transition, though, to baseball, because to no one's surprise, Derek Jeter was elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday. Jeter received 396 out of a possible 397 votes on his first ballot. He was a 5-time World Series champ, a World Series MVP, and a 14-time All-Star. Just saying all those numbers out loud. Shannon, what did Jeter mean to you?
Skip, he's the captain, El Capitan. He was a great leader. And when you think of, look, Derek Jeter was not the best Yankee. But for this generation, they think he was. And it wasn't what he did in the regular season, because he didn't have, you know, he didn't, like these shortstops now hitting 35, 40 home runs. He didn't have a 355 average. But Skip, regular season and postseason, it's hard to beat what he did. From an offensive standpoint, he was always clutch. The big hit. Home run on the defensive side. The play that he made against the A's. He wasn't supposed to be there. But somehow he was always where he wasn't supposed to be to make the right play.
Yep.
He was special. And in this age, Skip, there was no scandal surrounding him on the field. There was no pine tar. There was no cork bat. There was no steroids. There was no anything. Now, he had a great life off the field. How he was able to keep that on the wraps, Skip, I don't know. Especially with this social media age.
But it got into Page Six.
I mean, it got into Page Six a couple of times. Can we definitively say that was him? Mm-hmm. But as Jenny read his accolades, the 5-time World Series champ, the MVP, the Silver Sluggers, the Golden Glove Awards, Skip, he was it. I mean, one organization for 20 years, and he was a model citizen. So for me, the name that he was bestowed, the captain,
yep,
it fits.
Skip.
Two words. Clutch, class.
Yep.
That's what he was. Mm-hmm. I can't sum him up any better. The truth was, Derek Jeter was an overachiever. I don't think he was the most wildly talented guy.
No.
I used to know his trainer very well, like one of the guys who has trained him, and he used to laugh to me about how sort of unathletic his body looked. He was not ripped or cut. Mm-mm. He wasn't a big weight room guy.
Right.
He looked without a shirt on like some normal guy.
Yeah.
And yet, you want to talk about production under fire? Look at his postseason records. He had 200 hits in the postseason. That's mind-blowing to me.
Good luck somebody breaking that one.
Yeah, good luck on that. He holds the all-time postseason records for runs scored, hits, total bases, doubles, and triples. Now, again, he played in 158 games, mm-hmm. but he took advantage of all right. those games. And you brought up that play at the plate, and I covered that series because I was in the Bay Area.
Right.
And the Oakland A's went to Yankee Stadium, and they were a hot young team with a stud pitching staff. And they took the first two games at Yankee Stadium, and game three was in Oakland. And the turning point of the whole series was Derek Jeter was there. He got there, and he backhand flipped it and nailed not Jason Giambi, but his brother Jeremy yeah. at the plate. And why Jeremy didn't slide, I don't know, but he didn't think he needed to slide.
Exactly.
It just caught him completely off guard. He thought it was a stand-up score, yep. and he got nailed at the plate, and that turned the whole series around. That's Derek Jeter in a nutshell, right. was that play.
Right. Skip, look, did he have the flair at the shortstop position like Omar Vizquel or Ozzie Smith? No.
In fact, a lot of people have knocked him because he had low range.
Right.
He cost his range. I mean, cost his team a lot of range runs
right.
where he just couldn't get the balls.
Right.
But he did win five gold gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because when he did get to the ball, he made the play.
Right.
And I thought it was almost like he invented the running jump throw from the hole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could he pull that play off?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he saved some runs right. that way, I think.
But he look, like I said, I mean, and the pressure. There's one thing doing what, you know, you play 20 years and you play for an organization that's not the Yankees. He played for the Yankees. That's the gold standard in baseball. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, Chicago, we know what the Cubs represent. We know what the Red Sox. But the Yankees, 20 seasons in that uniform with the hits, the big, as you mentioned, the big clutch hits. Not, yeah, he had over 3,600 hits, but it's the hits and when they came come playoff time. And his 3,000 hit, what, it was a home run? I mean, dude had all the, I mean, come on, man. You ain't supposed to have all the luck, Jenny. You're not supposed to play 20 years for the Yankees, win 5 World Series, get all the hot, I mean, his outfit's littered. He got everything.
You sound jealous.
I am jealous.
He's happily married now, right?
Yeah.
He's good.
Did anybody even know? You're like, the next thing you know, he married.
Mm. Yeah, I think he has a couple kids.
Yeah.
He's good. He had fun. He's fine.
So
New York City.
I'm not sure which way this works. Either Derek Jeter is the Tom Brady of baseball or Tom Brady is the Derek Jeter of football.
Right.
Probably the last.
But here's the thing. I don't think we can deny that Tom Brady is the best player in the Patriots organization. He's not better than Ruth. He's not better than Gary. He's not better than Mantle or DiMaggio.
Jeter, right.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, though, Skip. I mean, what? He's maybe fifth, sixth best player of all time? You like Whitey Ford?
I mean, hard to think of.
Skip, he's not.
Yogi Berra.
Yeah. But let's. Babe, Lou, DiMaggio, mm-hmm. Mantle. He's not better than those.
Nope. I don't think he's better than Yogi Berra.
So,
look at Yogi Berra's numbers.
Yeah.
Tell me.
So if you want to start him at five, I mean, mm-hmm. you like Whitey Ford?
Yes, I do.
So
I'm sorry. Yes.
But what he was able to do, like you said, Skip, in the clutch, and the manner in which he done it, in the class in which he held himself, and like I said, there's no mention of impropriety on the field.
And plus, he was the unquestioned leader of the Yankees for 20 years.
That's a bull jive that rather than somebody, he left him off his ballot or didn't vote for
no
him.
I have no idea what
for what? To say, yo, I didn't vote for Derek Jeter?
One guy.
I just need to know one thing. When they going to put Barry and Roger in it?
Thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that because it looks like never. After yesterday, it looks like never because they're 0 for 8 now.
Skip.
And they're decreasing in their rise, you know.
Okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, Barry did it. We believe he started somewhere around 99, 2000. He was already a Hall of Famer before that.
No doubt.
Roger was already a Hall of Famer, even if you believe he did it.
No
even
doubt.
Though it wasn't illegal to do it.
He already had 3 Cy Youngs, and Barry already had 8 Gold Gloves, I believe,
yeah.
by the time he got big.
Just what he did, and what he did in Pittsburgh alone.
Agreed.
Was enough to get him in.
Yep.
No, come on, dude. He had it all. He could steal bases. He could take. He was a true 5-tool player.
Yep.
Because Skip, even before he got big, it was the argument, who's better, Barry or Griffey Jr.? That was the argument. Mm. It was them two. It wasn't anybody else was in the discussion. Mm. Griffey Jr. or Barry Jr.? Bonds Jr.
Barry Bonds was the greatest hitter I ever saw, and it wasn't close. And I covered him. I was there. Mm. There were nights when, again, he got big, I'll give you that. But you still have to do that.
Right.
You have to put bat on ball,
right.
and it's hard.
Well, imagine if he got big and he was doing that stuff, imagine if he knew the signs, what pitch was coming. Mm. If he literally knew, but he really did because his hand-eye coordination. He got one pitch a night. He hit it hard somewhere. Normally it was in McCovey Cove.
That is correct. It either hit the water or hit the wall.
He hit it hard. Look, when they walk you with the bases loaded, Buck Showalter walked
he
that
did.
Man
he walked
with the bases loaded. See, I'd rather walk in and run. And have you hit a grand slam.
That's a Hall of Famer.
You know that was going to happen.
Yep. Mm. And yet I covered Barry, and he was always so derogatory to the media, and that's why he's not in.
Yes.
Because he was just difficult to deal with, and I had lots of problems with him, and I don't care.
Yes.
Hmm. You're right. I don't care.
Yeah.
You're right.
Greatest thing I ever watched was him in that home run race.
Wow. Ooh. All right. Well, I did check with some sources, and I can confirm Rob Parker was not the voter.
Oh,
he did
good.
Not pick him because he did vote for Jeter. So
okay.
just so
oh,
we know,
listen, Rob Parker
it was not
loves
Rob Parker.
Yes.
Oh. I know, but we want to make sure. Got to make sure it wasn't our guy. He doesn't vote in all this thing. Either way, I miss watching him play, and congratulations to Derek Jeter.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Of one.